B-Pod Studios.
O'clock hour, the rumbling drums of my giant from Young the Giant, my body from Young the Giant, I'm sorry. 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at Landis BC. Tim McManus joins us at 4:10. For the people that have been emailing me, they're tuning in late. These movie things we're doing are post-1990 movies because we made a point last week that on everybody's top 100 movies, they're all old-time movies. Like, there were only, I counted only 11 that were made after 1990 that made the top 100 list. So we were just focused on the top 1990 movies because a lot of people are giving me like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, stuff like that. Yeah. This is post 1990.
Yeah, I actually think it was only 11 after 1980. So you narrowed
it down.
Yeah, but that's better.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
modern 1980, movie.
You're right. All right, so how about this? Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket.
Top 10?
What year did that come out?
I think it was 90s.
It could have been.
Platoon.
That was definitely 80s.
That was 80s?
Definitely 80s.
All right, Full Metal Jacket was 80s?
I'm checking Full Metal Jacket. I know Platoon was 80s.
Someone mentioned
Metal Jacket was 87.
Okay, so that doesn't apply.
Mm-mm.
Platoon doesn't apply either?
Nope.
I have
right,
one.
They're both. Go ahead.
A newer one that someone tweeted. It's in what? My personal top 10, Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
It doesn't make my top 10.
I loved it.
It's a complete mayhem mess.
You thought so?
Yes.
I loved it.
Yeah, well.
It was entertaining.
Yeah, it was entertaining, but it was a mess.
But it wasn't, it's not top 10 for me.
There was no organization to it at all. It was just a blop of a mess.
Okay.
All right. How about American History X?
You're not wrong if you put it on the list.
Here's the problem with American History X. I didn't buy it.
You didn't believe that he was racist?
I believe he was a racist. I didn't believe he flipped. First of all, this guy's a dyed-in-the-wool Aryan Nation member.
Yeah.
He has one conversation with a little black dude in the laundry room, and all of a sudden he's Abraham Lincoln. You got to give me a little more substance on how that transformation happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, somebody didn't open the door for him in the meantime one day.
Exactly. Little dude that he's folding clothes with, and all of a sudden he's, righteous.
That's a good point.
Didn't buy it. Didn't explore that story enough on how he transformed.
That's fair. Now that you pointed out, I was just glad that, look, he can change. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but in that movie, it was the curb stomp.
Yeah.
And then that was later recreated in The Sopranos, the curb stomp.
Yeah, that's the...
Who'd he do the curb stomp to? Tony Soprano did the curb stomp to somebody. Who was it? Last season of it.
I don't remember.
He did it to that New York guy, Coco, in the restaurant, because Coco had made some lewd comments to his daughter.
Oh, man. I gotta rewatch that. I'm rewatching the whole show.
All right, let's get back to the phones and go to Jim in Washington Township. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
What's up, Mike? How's it
going? What's going on, Jimmy?
I didn't call about the movie things, but my list is pretty much like yours. But how about Untouchables? I don't know when that was made. And Natural Born Killers. I haven't heard anybody mention them.
Natural Born Killers was insane. He messed that movie up. That was Oliver Stone completely messed that movie up. It was crazy. It was like insane. It made no sense. It was off the charts nuts. But if you read the book, it wasn't like that at all. He made it into this abstract thing. I didn't like it at all. So I wouldn't put that. What was the first one you said?
Untouchables.
Untouchables is it's an entertaining movie, but Kevin Costner is so bad in it. Don't you think? As Elliot Ness, do you think he was bad? He was a bad Elliot Ness?
I was basically thinking of movies that I could watch anytime they come.
No, I get it. Because De Niro was good and Sean Connery was good, and Andy Garcia was good. And Kevin Costner was, he was like Ben Affleck in it. You liked it, Carter? You liked it?
Yes, I liked the movie.
I couldn't buy Kevin Costner in that role. Sorry. But I see go ahead.
With the Phils, I'm going to be enraged if they don't get Harper. Mm-hmm. Simply because even before the stupid money comment, I expected them to get one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, they barely spent money. They made trades, and I know they spent a little bit, but who's their marquee free agent right now? You know, McCutcheon, Robinson?
Yeah.
And what worries me is you gave me a little bit of hope earlier when you said that they wanted Machado in the beginning and then it changed. I hope you're right, because what worries me is if they weren't willing to spend $300 on the guy that they coveted and all the reports came out that they wanted, and it wasn't until after they had the meeting with Machado that it changed to Harper.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't willing to go there for him, you know, the 10 years is what it is. If you really want him, like you said, $350 does it, because he wants to be the highest paid player in the league.
And I've said that from the jump.
Absolutely.
That Boris wanted his guy to be the highest paid player. And at $350 for 10 years, he would have been. Yeah, got it.
Jason Worth
gave a bad rap to Philly. Ooh.
You
could be on to something. You could be on that. Jason Worth, bad mouth the city for getting booed.
He better not, because he came back here all faking and hugging.
He did, but you never know what he said to Bryce.
He better clean it up. Make a phone call.
He may have spoiled Bryce for good. He may have put the banana bruise on him. That doesn't get better.
You know, I always loved Worth. If he does that to us, I'm done with him. I have him above Utley on my love list. He's off the list completely if he backstabs us.
What can I tell you? Is McManus on the line?
He hasn't called yet.
Oh, he hasn't called yet. All right, I'll take another call. Let's go. John in Philly. John, you're on 97.5 Fanatics. What's up, John?
So the more recent callers have been less terrible, but anybody calling in who doesn't want Harper is an idiot, Mike. They're an idiot. They don't have a single valid argument. It's ridiculous. These people are more concerned about saving John Middleton money, who's going to pay more in
tax. They're not concerned about that. Here's what they're concerned about. They're concerned about somebody forcing them to do something. You know how we are, Phil. We're macho.
I understand that. But
we're macho. Nobody's going to tell us what to do.
They weren't getting him for less than 10 years, $320. If they went into this thinking they were going to get him for less than 10 years and $320, then they're just as dumb as these callers.
Mm-hmm.
So who cares about an extra $30 million over 10 years when you're John Middleton? Just get the
guy. I think they thought the price wasn't going to get to $300 million the way this was going on. Now, all of a sudden, the Padres made it a reality today. So now they got to go into their lab and say, okay, he might not want to play here. We may have to overpay, or we don't overpay. We bite the bullet with our fan base, and we play with this team and see where it goes.
Well, then I got to tell you, they're going to have a very, very unhappy fan base.
I totally agree with you. As a fan,
one in the hand, worth two in the bush. Everybody likes to talk about Arenado and Trout. You don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Arenado's got tough home and away splits a couple years
ago. They're asking that right now. All their marketing people are in there with the gentleman. What's the upshot if we don't get him with the fan base, you think? What's it mean as far as ticket sales? How many fewer tickets will we sell? They're all going through the parameters right now. They're going through the analytics.
I hope they are, and I hope that those people realize that they better get him, because there was a lot of a big lack of excitement in town about that team last year. Yep. They were competitive for most of the year, and I think they'll be better this year, but they're a fringe contender at best right now and currently constructed.
Why
wouldn't you want to go from fringe contender to legitimate contender?
I am with you, brother. I am with you. But the man, let's talk some football. Let's take a breather. Because this has been intense 2 hours here with this conversation with Bryce Harper, now that Manny Machado has signed. So let's take a little shift and talk some football issues, because there's a major football issue out there. Thursday is the day where the Eagles, is it Thursday? It's today. Today they have to decide whether they're going to franchise, the earliest they can decide whether to franchise Mr. Nick Foles and then try to make a move for him. Tim McManus, covering the Eagles for ESPN.com, is on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tim, what are you feeling right now? What are you hearing?
What's going on, Mike? Yeah, so today is the first day that the Eagles or anybody in the NFL can designate one of their players with the franchise tag, and that goes until the 5th. So February 19th to March 5th is the window. And I think that the Eagles are going to use a lot of that time, that allotted time, to figure out whether or not they can line up a trade for Foles. And the answer to that will dictate whether or not the franchise tag gets placed on him, because they are in no position to just franchise tag him and then see what happens. I mean, that's a $25 million gamble that they will not be able to make. And so they're going to use this time, and certainly the combine coming up will be a great kind of spot for that, to see if they have a trade partner that they can kind of get into making a deal.
Yeah, they're probably talking behind the scenes. So do you believe that they're having trouble right now orchestrating a trade so far?
I don't know if I would call it trouble, but I think it would be, you know, at least my read on it is that they don't have a trade partner in place yet. And I think that if you look around the kind of the marketplace, you know, who are the teams that would be willing to pony up in a deal for Foles? And you know, just trying to take the temperature of the league, it doesn't seem like there are a lot of landing spots for him. And it would only shrink more, you know, if you put the tag and trade designation as part of it. You know, Jacksonville Jaguars, I think, are going to end up having interest. Whether they are willing to make a deal, I think, depends on just how scared they are, essentially, of losing him to another team. You know, so a lot of this, I think, is going to be about Howie Roseman and whether creating a market or creating an impression. You know, if you don't make a deal for him, you could lose him. And I think that might be a lot of the cat and mouse game here. But if you look around, I mean, who are the other teams?
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. Who else do you think could be involved? And could there be division teams involved?
Well, that's the one thing that you could play, but I don't see it. You know, the Giants seem to be committed to Eli Manning for another year and using him plus maybe a draft pick to figure out their quarterback situation. Washington had just given big money to Alex Smith, and even though he's not going to be available, you know, the read there is it doesn't seem all that likely that they would kind of reinvest big numbers in another quarterback. So that would take them off the table. And as we know, you know, Denver just made a trade for Joe Flacco, and that takes another potential landing spot away from them. So, you know, outside of Jacksonville, honestly, there's no, like, single team that you can point to and say they would definitely take Foles. I mean, it seems like the Jags are the sure one, and then it gets a lot fuzzier from there.
All right, let me ask you the value part of this, because Flacco's value is a fourth rounder. I would assume that that's what would be Foles' value also, but maybe even less, because every team knows that the Eagles have to trade him. What do you think is his value right now?
Yeah, I think a mid-round pick sounds about right, like a third or fourth rounder for Foles, if it ends up coming down to that. And as you say, you can kind of use Flacco's deal as a market setter, and you can make the case, I think, if you're the Eagles, that Foles presents a little bit more value. But as you say, on the other side, you know, things have slimmed down, so there's just not a whole lot of leverage that the Eagles can hold over another team. And that's especially true because everybody in the world knows that they can't hold on to him for $25 million, which really complicates this whole thing. And then there's a whole other factor of, is it even like legal within the NFL realm to tag him, considering that everybody knows that he's not going to stay? And there's some language in the CBA that suggests it might not be kind of within their power to do that. So in other words, there's a bunch of different obstacles that are in front of the Eagles. They have to find the trade partner. Really, the Foles camp has to be willing sort of on the back end to go along with it. And then there's the whole deal with the collective bargaining agreement as to whether it's a fair game or not. You know, so the stars really need to align for Philly to pull this off.
All right, clear this up for me. If his value is only a fourth rounder, then wouldn't it behoove the Eagles to just not franchise tag him, let him go, get the compensatory pick, which has been reported would be a third rounder?
I think that would be the max that you would get. And, you know, that whole compensatory pick formula is dependent on how many guys are going out the door and how many you bring in. It's not really a slam dunk, and the comp pick would be in 2020 as opposed to getting it in hand in 2019. I think that there's some value to that. But, yeah, I mean, to your point, if you're getting a third rounder in 2020 versus a fourth rounder or below in 2019, then, yes, I think it would make some sense to kind of save the headache of all of this and go that route. And that ultimately might be the way that this thing plays out. I mean, I think that, you know, really it comes down to whether Roseman can, you know, kind of work some magic over the course of the next 2 weeks. Otherwise, they're going to have to let him roll, but they should get a nice compensatory pick back. So I would say, you know, if they can end up getting a third rounder for him now, certainly they would pull the trigger. But, you know, there's a lot of things that have to happen for that to take
place. What's your best guess as to what happens here?
Well, I have a lot of faith in Roseman's ability, obviously in his position, but I do think that there are some roadblocks here. So I kind of have been going back and forth on this, but because of all those roadblocks, I'm just not sure that they're going to be able to pull it off.
All right. They wouldn't, like, because a lot of people ask this question. Well, I don't want to see him go into division. If the Giants do shift gears and say they want him and they move Eli somewhere, would the Eagles be afraid to trade him to the Giants? Because I look at it like the opposite way. I mean, why would they be afraid of Nick playing against Nick Foles?
You know, I mean, there's a couple different ways to look at it. I see where you're coming from. I would say that one thing that they might want to avoid is kind of the narrative that goes along that and the comparisons that you would have to deal with in division for the next however many years. You know, there was already so much made of Carson Wentz versus Nick Foles already. And then if you put him in a division and have the team stacked side by side and the comparisons ongoing, that doesn't seem particularly ideal. And then, of course, there's the other chance that Foles ends up being really successful. And there is something to be said for the way that his career is starting to turn a little bit. I mean, he's had the ups and downs, but it does seem like he's gotten comfortable in the league and has figured out what works really well for him. And if he can kind of translate the success that he's seen in short doses over the last 2 years into kind of a bigger picture, you know, that can be, you know, that can really help a franchise. So, yeah, I think ideally they want to get him out of the division. I don't think there's any question about that. Their preference, get him in the AFC if they can. That's part of the attraction of trading him and why they're holding out hope that maybe they can make a deal.
Okay. I'm looking at a mock draft fresh off the press. It is Mel Kiper's mock draft 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
And his 2.0 draft has the Eagles taking Trayvon Mullen, a cornerback from Clemson. Now, from what we've heard, it's very strong a defensive line that they would go there. Would they take a cornerback?
Yeah, I'm having trouble picturing them taking a cornerback in the first round. And people have varying opinions on just how good the young CBs are on the Eagles roster. But I know that there are people in house that are still bullish on Sidney Jones, even though he hasn't proven it on the big stage as of yet. And, you know, Craven LeBlanc as a slot corner turned out pretty well last year. And you also have guys like Jalen Mills, and you have Avante Maddox, who really impressed. Rasul Douglas. I mean, so there's enough there where I don't know that it would be the most appealing thing to take a CB in the first round. Plus, you know, I think that Howie Roseman has already stated that he views this defensive line group as historic. And pass rushers usually go early. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it makes more sense to me that they would go along like the defensive front before they would go corner.
Last question. Would they have any interest in Big Chest?
Antonio Brown,
now known as Big Chest.
Yeah. Certainly just kind of on the surface. And I've seen people say, well, what if they trade Antonio Brown for Nelson Aguilar so the money kind of matches up and all those things? You would have to kind of investigate just what sort of headaches Antonio Brown caused, why they're moving on from him, and those types of deals. And then you also have to figure in the cap. So, you know, the Eagles are going to have to make some maneuvering. They're going to have to maneuver a little bit here. I just looked at the roster management numbers on ESPN, and the Eagles are currently you know, 32nd out of 32 in cap space. They're at plus $22 million right now.
Yep.
That'll change a lot once Nick Foles comes off the books, and they, you know, Tim Jernigan, I think they can get him off the books. That'll clear like another $10 million. So they'll find a way to kind of whittle themselves down. But if Antonio Brown is looking for like fully guaranteed money, and wants to redo the deal, I think that would be prohibitive for the Eagles. So I'm sure interest on the surface, sure. But whether they can actually make it happen, probably another deal altogether.
All right. Say hello to Mac Hollins. Timmy, thank you, buddy. Good information. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike.
Here is Tim McManus, Comcast Business Hotline, giving us the information on the Nick Foles situation. But, you know, if the Eagles did sign Antonio Brown, you know what they would say. What? They're two words. They did their...
due diligence.
Due diligence.
They did their due diligence.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yes.
It was a certain, you know, the right course there. He's okay. A winner.
Yes. On the other side, we're going to examine whether Kevin Costner is a good actor or not. All right.
This is a good one.
We're putting him under the microscope.
This is a tough one. All right.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
This Fanatics Sports Update is brought to you by FreeWinners.net. Be sure to tune in to the experts at FreeWinners.net for the Las Vegas view on all things point spread related every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. only on 97.5 The Fanatic. Reports state Manny Machado has signed with the San Diego Padres. Per Bob Nightingale, the deal will pay him $300 million over 10 years. Stay locked into The Fanatic for all breaking free agency news. Flyers look for another win when they play the Lightning tonight at home. You can hear that game right here on The Fanatic at 7. Our Flyers weekly show leads you into the game beginning at 6. Sixers continue their all-star break. They'll resume play Thursday night against the Heat at home. Eagles are now free to franchise tag quarterback Nick Foles. Worried about another sleepless night? Instead, try new ZQuil Pure Z melatonin gummies. ZQuil Pure Z is drug-free and helps you fall asleep naturally and wake up with no next-day grogginess. New ZQuil Pure Z's. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Mizzinelli on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Let's get to the Twitter poll at 4:30. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Miss Natalie.
Today's Twitter poll, Mike, has over 3,000 votes on it so far. Will the Phillies seal the deal with Harper? 42% saying yes. 34% say I'm worried. 24% say no.
Okay. Seems like a lot of worried people out there, including me. I can be honest with you.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm a little worried. Kevin Costner, good actor or not? What's your instinct tell you?
My instinct tells me no, but I have two exceptions off the top of my head.
Let's go through a filmography. Can you tell me
For him, for his performance.
The Untouchables.
Yeah, I thought he was great in that. I did. I really liked him in Untouchables.
Weak performance. No Way Out. Good movie, actually.
Yeah, it was a good movie. He was okay in it.
I actually think he was better than that than The Untouchables. Bull Durham.
Eh.
I think he was pretty good in Bull Durham.
Oh, you thought? Yeah, I thought he was there.
Field of Dreams.
I thought he was really good in Field of Dreams.
Yuck. Oh, God.
The movie was cheesy. It's not his fault.
Dances with Wolves.
Horrendous. I thought he was horrendous in that movie.
Pretty good movie. He was nominated.
Yeah, the movie was fine. He
nominated for Best Actor.
It was a mistake.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yuck.
JFK.
I actually thought he was all right in JFK. Thought he was all right in JFK.
It was such a fake accent.
It went like,
oh my God.
I thought he was okay in JFK.
He was horrendous in JFK.
Nah.
The Bodyguard.
Awful.
Nat loved it.
The Bodyguard?
Yeah, The Bodyguard.
Oh, well, that's for a whole different...
Yeah. Waterworld.
Under actually, not as bad as people
thought. I liked Waterworld.
Waterworld wasn't a bad movie.
Maybe the most worst movie was ever made.
No!
Was Waterworld.
No, it wasn't.
Tin Cup.
He wasn't great in Tin Cup.
The Postman.
Nah, I'm good.
Message in a Bottle.
Nope.
Matt?
I don't think I've ever seen that.
You know, saw Message in a Bottle?
No.
The Nicholas Sparks novel?
No.
Robin Wright?
Mm-mm.
No. Oh, no. Martinez loves this movie.
He does?
Oh. For the Love of the Game, Billy Chappell, the pitcher.
Eh.
13 Days, where he played one of the Kennedys, or like the Kennedy advisor.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Nah.
Yeah? Uh-uh. Not going with it?
No.
Okay, then you get crap. I can't come up with a movie. It's all crap.
Nah, he was really good.
Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
Oh, I don't even know.
Draft Day.
Awful. And that movie was awful. The day of the draft, they don't know what...
Like, that had so much build-up, too, yeah, that movie.
These movies are terrible that you made.
Why?
3 Days to Kill. I didn't ever heard of it.
You skipped
the
one,
The Man
though.
Who Saved the World? What? What I skipped?
All right, when Tombstone came out, he did Wyatt Earp, like, the same time.
Oh, Wyatt Earp, that's right.
He was good in Wyatt Earp.
He was good in Wyatt Earp.
But Tombstone was a better movie, and I always thought he should have did...
Wyatt Earp, 1994 movie.
Yeah. That was kind of his prime.
That's the one he did before Waterworld.
Yeah, that was his prime, and he was good in that. He hasn't been really good.
Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
You know what? As the dad. You know what? He wasn't terrible in that one as the dad. He's Superman's pop.
Hidden Figures.
That movie was fine. He wasn't very good in it.
Molly's Game.
Oh, that's the gambling movie with the redhead.
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah. Nah.
Played her father.
Yeah, he's not a good actor. He's not.
All right. I think we said, who's better? Tom Hanks?
Come on, man.
Yeah, he is.
Come on.
I'll even go there. Tom Hanks better than Kevin Costner. Tony in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Tom?
I love your show, man.
Thanks, buddy.
I just want to comment on a couple of things. The Phillies don't get Bryce Harper, man. They're going to be really upset. They have to sign the dude, man, to get to the next level. I think so.
I agree. Now, I don't know what... See, the season will play out, and maybe they'll have a good season, and maybe people will say, see that? They had a great season. They didn't have to pay all that money, and next year they can strike for somebody.
And yeah, that's true, too. But if they don't give Bryce Harper, go get another pitcher, because we can find another outfielder, but you need pitching.
No, you can't find another outfielder to hit 40 bombs, bro.
Yeah, that's true, too. But if you look at all the Phillies... championship games, they had good pitching, and they had so-so, you know, players. You know, Ron Howard, he's supposed to hit...
Whoa. There was just the opposite. They had weak pitching, and they had good offense.
Well, yeah, you're right, right. But they definitely got to get to another pitcher. Because, I mean...
Well, if they got Bryce Harper... That wouldn't, you know, it would be nice if they got another pitcher, but I believe that makes them a good enough offensive lineup to overcome their lack of starting pitching. If they don't, they need another pitcher, but there's nobody of significance available. So,
that's true.
You know, it's, you know.
And I just want to comment on Foles.
Uh-huh.
I think that the Eagles should just let him go.
Yeah, they should let him go. I agree.
And I want to put one movie that y'all haven't spoke about.
Oh, I got it.
I'm quite sure you're probably having. Heard about or seen it. Well, I'm quite sure you have. But Bone Crusher with Denzel Washington, that was one of the
Bone Crusher
movies. Yeah, you don't remember that, do you?
Oh, man.
Bone Crusher?
I can't say that I do. A couple people. Was Malcolm X in the 90s?
Yes.
Good movie. I like Malcolm X. Yeah, he did a great job with that movie. How about... Well, Sling Blade wasn't in after 90, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Yeah. I just didn't love it. I'm looking up this Bone Crusher movie because I'm all stuck. I thought I've seen every...
Come on, man. Bone Crusher?
I can't find... No, every time... It doesn't come up as a Denzel movie.
That boxer? Bone Crusher? Smith?
I don't know. It's not coming up. It's an Irish documentary. Or I remember the rapper, Bone Crusher.
Yeah, that's what I thought of.
I don't know Bone Crusher.
Nah.
Mark on a cell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Mark?
I was just thinking about this Bryce Harper thing, and, you know, I don't think it'll be the end of the world if anyone signs into a 10-year deal. I mean, he's a good player, but he's only just good. I mean, I could see giving him $35 million a year, but I wouldn't do more than 5 or 6 years because these 10-year deals never pan out. Just like last year, I think the Yankees were regretting.
10-year deals, there's only been one, really. And that didn't pan out because the guy was in his 30s when he got it.
Well,
this guy's 26 years old. Now, at age 30, at age 35, you think he could still be a good hitter?
Well, I'd say if he was a 330 hitter now, but the guy spent last year, half of last year, hitting 210.
Yeah, but did you see his other stats? He didn't hit 210. He hit 250.
For the year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that it'll be a stress for him to hit 300 again. Because
well, forget the 300. This is a guy who had last year had 100 RBIs, right, in a bad year, had 100 RBIs, and now he's playing in a hitter-friendly park. You don't think he can hit 45 home runs, 120 RBIs in this park?
I do think he could do that.
Well, then he's worth it. He's worth it. Because you guess what? You can't find guys that can do that.
Well, you know, there's always somebody coming up.
No, there isn't. How many guys you know that are coming up that hit 45 home runs?
You got to put the onus on the scouts.
Come on, man. Stop. Stop. You got guys in the game that can proven long ball hitters. They're at a premium. They don't come up.
Well, you know, he's never won, and so, you know, it's
a lot of great players never won. Let's go, Brett in Levittown. Brett, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brett.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, the reason why I'm concerned about, you know, Harper not wanting to come here is because, you know, Philly takes such a bad rap in the media. Now, it's the sort of city that when you're here, you know, you love it because, like, ask Nick Foles how good of a city we are to our athletes. But, you know, the media gives us such a bad rap that it might just turn them off, you know?
Mm-hmm. Might just turn them off what? If he hits 40 home runs, do you think he's going to get curtain calls every night here? What exactly is going to turn him off if he produces?
Well, you know how it is. You know, everything, like when the Eagles got booed, you know, the first game, you know, it was all over. You know, that was all over every station about how we booed.
I don't think that matters, to be honest with you. If the guy's confident in his ability, he's going to be a hitter. They're going to love him, and he's going to have a love affair with this city. All he has to do is hit home runs.
No, I agree. And as far as being the highest paid player, I don't know. Like, maybe that is more important to Scott Boras than it is to him. You know, when you're making $300 million, I mean, like,
no, it's important to him. It's important to him.
The destination might be a little bit more important than, you know, extra $50 million, don't you think?
Nope. Nope. $50 million, bro.
I hear you. But that's to me and you, not to him, you know?
What is he like? All of a sudden he turned into Nick Foles? You know, everybody was wrong on Nick Foles. Nick Foles wanted to only take $5 million because he loved Philadelphia. So these athletes want money, bro. Come on.
And, for the movie, you're forgetting Jaws. Jaws is a great movie.
That was before 1990.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we're going 1990. The guy meant the Bone Collector, not the Bone Crusher.
What's his favorite movie? He didn't know the title.
The Bone Collector, he's with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, I saw that. Not top 10.
It's not a top 10.
It's not top 1,000.
No, it's not.
He might have been thinking about the rapper. Actually,
did that movie.
Oh, we'll take a break. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Bryce Harper Day. What are they do now. Manny Machado is signed with the upset San Diego Padres. And word has leaked out that the Padres are actually considering signing both of them. Oh, this is too priceless. Are they in danger of losing Bryce Harper? We shall see.
They're not going to lose to the Padres.
They're not losing to the Padres. They may lose to the Nationals. They may lose to the Yankees.
I don't think they're going to lose them to the Yankees either. I actually think it's two teams now. I think it's the Nationals.
Phillies.
If it's still a long-term deal, and that's I'm assuming because that's all the reporting. If it's a long-term deal, it's the Nationals or the Phillies. If it's a short-term deal, the Yankees are back in.
No Padre Harper.
I'm not worried about that at all. No. But here's the thing. If the Padres get him, the Phillies have to understand that their credibility is gone forever unless they win the division this year. If they don't go and make a playoff run this year, why would you trust them what they say ever again? If they miss out on Harper, then miss the playoffs. Why ever listen to them? Because you can't trust them. They let the Padres outbid them. Because their valuation said that it was not enough.
Well, we shall see. There are some people out there. Screw them! They just want to come to Philly. We don't need them.
Yeah, they're on our social media. I don't even know what. Yes, sir. He's overrated anyway. What? He's overrated.
We don't need him to win. All right. A couple of movies that have been nominated. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That was really good, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like these two movies. I don't know if they're top 10, but I like them both. L.A. Confidential.
It's a good movie.
Good movie.
I think she won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
She looked spectacular in that movie.
That was her peak. Not 8.5 weeks. That was the peak for her.
Michael Clayton. Georgie Clooney.
That was a good movie.
Good movie.
With Tilda Swinton won the Oscar for that one, I thought. Wasn't that?
She might have.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
Yes, it was. Arthur in Mount Airy. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, Arthur?
I love the show. I have two comments. First one about American History X. Mm-hmm. Second one is going to be about my man, Nick Foles. One question. Did you watch the entire movie?
Yeah. Yeah, I've watched it a couple times.
Let me give it another look because what he learned when he went into prison is that those guys really weren't following, you know, their rules hating.
I get it, but he flipped too quick. It was like he went in there hateful and then, like, you know, a couple things and all of a sudden he was, you know, he completely transformed. I didn't buy it.
All right.
The transformation had to be deeper and written better.
Okay, I see it your way. Yeah. Now, my second question, because I really wanted to get your opinion on this, because I've been listening to people calling about Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anyone bring up this point about Tom Brady and Kurt Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Why did the Patriots decide to stay with Tom Brady after he was the second-string quarterback, the starter went down, he won the Super Bowl as a sixth-round pick, and why did the St. Louis Rams decide to go with Kurt Warner after he won a Super Bowl for them when he was barely a guy that ever made any NFL team?
Well, first of all, you're talking about like two quarterbacks that weren't exactly, you know, great quarterbacks that they beat out, right? You know, Carson Wentz was drafted to be the number one guy.
And Drew Bledsoe wasn't supposed to be the guy?
Drew Bledsoe was he was a good quarterback, but you got me on Drew Bledsoe. They decided to go with Brady because, and I hear what your point is, the Eagles should still go with Foles. But Foles has more ifs than those two guys that you're talking about.
What I think the problem is the Eagles want the quarterback for the next 10 years, and they don't have him. I don't trust Carson Wentz.
Well, they do, so that's all that matters. They're the ones that drafted them. You don't trust them, that's fine, but they do. And you might be right. We'll see. Dave in Annapolis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Dave?
Just this price, living down in the Nationals territory here, they're starting to get excited now. The one thing I think the Philly, you know, Scott Boras says exactly what he wants. His guy with a bunch of teams, maybe not a bunch of teams, but more than one bidding on his superstar, and that's all he wanted. And I think that was part of the reason why, you know, it's been this long is they're waiting each other out. I agree with you. They're superstars. The Phillies have no superstars right now. They have some good players, but no superstars, and they need one. And, you know, the fact that they've let it go this long, they could have made an offer, I think, earlier that, you know, at least, you know, made them think a little bit more. But now I think the Nationals know what they have to do. And I think he has an affinity towards them. And he, if it's close, I think, you know, I think that he's going to come back here. And Klentak's comments give me no confidence today in the fact that, you know, he's just willing to walk away from things. Manny Machado's a superstar. Bryce Harper's a superstar. Would I prefer Harper? Yes. With this lineup and the left-handed bat, but I just, today's comments and the way things have shaken. If Matt Klentak just said today, we're still in on Bryce and, you know, we'll see where it goes. But his comments gave me no confidence.
Well, here's the thing. I think they miscalculated. I think they thought the market was not there for 10 years and they were just going to wait that out and then they were going to get a 7-year deal or whatever. The San Diego Padres flipped it on them. Now we'll see how they react.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, I don't think he's going to the Padres. You make a good point about the Yankees, but I don't see him taking any, he's not going to take anything under 10 years, and I don't think the Yankees are going there. I think it's down to two teams. I think it's the Nationals and the Phillies. The White Sox, I think.
Yeah, they're out. The White Sox are out. They don't have that kind of money. They admitted they don't have that kind of money to play. Bruce on the cell. Quick, Bruce, you got about a minute.
Okay, one of the things quickly is, I got one question.
Go ahead.
Is there any credibility in the fact that because Wentz had a couple injuries, back-to-back, do you think they might hold, Nick Foles into that?
No.
No?
Can't. It would cost too much money to do that.
Okay. The other thing is this, with the movies, okay? Thomas Crown Affair, and No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men is a good one. The Thomas Crown Affair. Yeah. Fluff.
See,
Pierce Bronson? What is his name?
Yeah, Rene Russo.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, it's not top 10.
Yeah.
It was, it was a fun movie to watch. It was a good movie.
It's like Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible, also a good movie to watch, Mike.
TV.
See, you're so snobby.
TV things.
Like, very snobby there. That was a good movie to watch. Most snobby.
TV movies.
Wow.
Anchorman should be in the mix.
Anchorman?
Yeah.
I'm serious. Is that well done?
Yeah, maybe.
It's really well done. Okay. As a period piece.
Yes. Let's see. What else? Everybody's just killing me with movies here.
A Wedding Singer?
No. Wedding Singer's not on it. Wedding Crashers is on. Yeah. I say goodbye. Thanks for watching, everybody, on NBC Sports Philly. Mike Mussinelli's show continues on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.